So the first slide is, what is dirt for debt? Basically, the purpose of dirt for debt provision is to transfer the property in satisfaction of all or part of the debt owed by the debtor, relinquishing the title from the debtor and giving the title to the creditor, and it will release the debtor from any potential liabilities that may come with the encumbered property. In some cases, as you've seen in the video, it can take months or potentially years for the creditor to foreclose on the property. So the dirt for debt plan may force the creditor into a foreclosure on the property sooner rather than later. And then some of the property that a debtor may be able to transfer through title back to the mortgage company would be properties like a timeshare, a homestead, or even rental properties that may be owned by the debtor. Next, we have some of the case law. Now, I know you guys have heard case law all day, and I'm going to try to avoid going through a lot of it, but I did want to speak to one of the cases that I think is the landmark case, which is In re Sagendorf. And as I stated here on the slide, I believe it is the correct application of the relevant provisions of the bankruptcy code because it permits the Chapter 13 debtor to propose a plan that provides for transferring title to the mortgage, real estate, or the mortgagee in full satisfaction of his claims, subject to the mortgagee's right to object, in which the court must determine whether a plan that has been proposed by the debtor is proposed in good faith and is otherwise in compliance with the code of the bankruptcy code and should be affirmed. This approach, to me, maintains the integrity of 1325A5 and 1322B. Now, two of the cases that I did not put on this slide would be In re Rosa, which is a case that was in 2013, and essentially it comes from the Ninth Circuit. And what the court concluded in that case was that surrendering of the property can be augmented by 1322B9, which is the contents of the plan, which provides that a plan may provide for vesting of the property of the estate on confirmation of the plan or at a later time in the debtor or any entity. However, a Chapter 13 plan cannot vest a surrendered property in the mortgage holder without its consent. So the plan was the plan in that case was confirmed. However, the lender did not object to the confirmation of the plan, and so its failure to object to the plan essentially meant that there was an acceptance, and the debtor was allowed to transfer the property back to the creditor. The other case that I did not put on this slide would be In re Rose, which is a Fourth Circuit case, and that was the case in 2014, and it has a similar tone as to the conclusion as In re Rosa, but offers a greater protection for the mortgage holder. The court concluded that surrendering the property transfers the title to a secure creditor if the creditor accepts the collateral. As to vesting the property, which we'll talk about in the later slide where it talks about 1322B9, the property cannot be transferred without the creditor's consent, mentioning potential problems that accepting the title could impose on the mortgage holder. The lender's failure to object to vesting does not constitute consent, and so the debtor is directed to deliver a quitclaim deed to the mortgage holder with the deed becoming a final conveyance only if the mortgage holder fails to take definitive action within 60 days after receiving the deed, which kind of shows you that the different circuit courts have different opinions on the case law. And so finally, the case that's listed here is In re Watt, which I wanted to list because it has a similar conclusion as In re Sagendorf. It takes a different view of vesting than the case of In re Rose and Rosa, which the court holds that surrender under 1325A5 does not require acceptance by the secured creditor, and that 1329B9 allows a plan to provide for vesting without consent from the lender. And the rationale the rationale is the plain language of the surrender and vesting, which is what the court analyzed. And so in Watt, it states that the good faith requirement of 1325 and 1325A3 would prevent a plan from forcing the third party to accept the property that is a nuisance or the or has environmental property problems. So as you look at those different cases, and you'll have an opportunity to review it at your own will, you'll see that each circuit has a different approach. But ultimately, the foregoing conclusion is that each debtor or any debtor who decides to provide a plan that may surrender or surrender a property through transferring the title would allow the creditor to have an opportunity to object. But ultimately, if you look at the case law in detail, you will see that the debtor is on the winning side as of now when it comes to transferring a title.